Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Perhaps I could cut across your conversation, draw your attention this way. My name is Andrew, and along with Matt and Ben, I'm one of the leaders here at Grace Church. I'd like to add my welcome to the welcome that Matt has already given you at the beginning of the meeting. We're going to get straight into things this morning. If you've got a Bible with you, you might want to turn to Mark chapter 4, where we're going to be in just a few moments, but we'll also have the passage up on the screen. I'm continuing with a series that we've been doing over a number of Sunday mornings called Going Further Faster. This is our vision series. If you've been around at Grace Church for a number of weeks, you would have got a sense of what this series is about already. It's all about God giving us, as his people, a compelling picture of what could be. And in the first week of the new year, which I think was the 8th of January, we got together and I talked about living with vision. And I talked about God often bringing us a holy discontent into our lives. So we become discontented with the status quo. And into that vacuum created by discontent, new vision comes, a compelling picture of what could be that galvanizes us to action, that mobilizes us as God's people. So change happens. And we're to be that kind of people. And then in the week following that, Matt and I talked about missional community, the idea that the church is the only organization on the earth that exists for the benefit of its non-members. And that should shape everything about us. It shapes how we are a scattered church when we're out there in the world going about our everyday lives. It shapes what we do when we gather together corporately in these kinds of settings. And then last week, we talked about what it means to be a church that's serving our city, that's serving the most vulnerable and the least privileged in our midst. And we talked about the fact that as Grace Church, we believe that God is moving us to strengthen our partnership with an organization called Christians Against Poverty, something about which we're particularly excited. This morning, you get two additions to that series, because I'm going to be talking for a little bit on movements, and then we're going to do something I'll explain in a few moments, and then we're going to hand over to Ben, who's going to do another talk on something quite different. So two talks back to back. As I said, I'm talking on movements this morning, and I want to start this. Now, I appreciate the venue isn't ideal in terms of being able to see the screen, but I wonder how many of you saw a film that's quite old now. It's released in 2000 called Pay It Forward. If you've not seen the film, let me tell you a little bit about the storyline. It's about a high school teacher who gives his class of 11-year-olds, note, 11-year-olds, an assignment. It's a year-long assignment, and the assignment is simply this. Think of an idea to change our world and put it into action. What do you think of that assignment given to a bunch of 11-year-olds? Think of an idea to change our world and put it into action. And one little boy, pictured there on the screen, has an idea. And a little while later, he's presenting it to the class, and his idea is, here's me. I'm going to find three people that I can help. It has to be something I can help them with that they can't do for themselves, and it has to be something big. So I'm going to find those three people, and I'm going to do something for those three people. And then those three people have to pay it forward. They have to find a further three people and help those people with something big that they can't manage by themselves. And then the people that they help find a further three people and help them with something they can't do for themselves. And then those people find a further three people, and so it goes on and on and on. You get the picture? Now, his classmates are sitting there thinking, that's a really dumb idea. It's a stupid idea. But what this boy had got hold of was the power of multiplication. That's what this talk is about this morning, the power of multiplication. Think of biological systems. Now, I'm a biologist by training. Let's imagine you've got two rabbits, mummy rabbit, daddy rabbit, and we give them 7 years to get on with it. So why 7 years? Grace Church, as it happens, Grace Church has been in existence for 7 years. That's why I'm taking a 7-year stretch. So mummy, daddy, mummy rabbit. What is that? Daddy rabbit, mummy rabbit. They have baby rabbits. That's it. And then those babies have babies who have babies who have babies who have babies. How many rabbits would you have at the end of 7 years? Well, rather than hands up seeing what you think the answer is, let me tell you. 184 billion. 597,433,860 rabbits in 7 years. From two. That's the power of multiplication. Let's think of plants. Dandelions. Let's imagine you've got a pristine lawn in your garden. There's one dandelion plant there. In its lifetime, it can produce 2,000 offspring. How many dandelions would you have growing in your garden at the end of 7 years? Answer, it's making my head hurt. I can't do the maths. Because it doesn't matter how big your garden is. Your garden would be covered in dandelions. But you don't know how big my garden is. I don't need to know how big your garden is. It would be covered in dandelions. That's the power of multiplication. Right, let's go back to Pay It Forward, this film. Think of an idea to change the world and put it into action. If you want to change the world by spreading an idea around, a good idea around, a great idea around, harnessing the power of multiplication is how you go about doing it. That's how you're going to do it. And I want to read you a story this morning. It's a story told by Jesus. It's found in Mark chapter 4. And it's a story about a great idea, a good idea to change the world. Jesus' whole ministry was about one idea. The idea of the kingdom of God breaking into the here and now. And the idea is this. Jesus said, when people become my followers, the kingdom of God, the rule of God, breaks into that person's life and completely transforms them. Now, how is that idea going to get out there? How's it going to spread around? How is that idea going to change the world? Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 4 with a famous story, which is often called the parable of the sower. Let's have a look at Mark 4, starting at verse 1. Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables and in his teaching said, listen. You listening? A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Let's just pray together. Father, as we consider the message of this story, such a simple story that Jesus told, I pray that you would capture our hearts. And I pray that you would do a deep work in our lives this morning. And for those who are sitting here this morning who perhaps aren't really too sure about church and Christianity and what following you might mean, Lord, I pray in particular for those people that you would meet with them and draw them to yourself. Lord Jesus, I pray for all of us. Come and accomplish your work among us this morning through the power of your word. I pray that your word might find fertile soil in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Right, what is this story all about? Well, the seed, we've got this farmer scattering this seed. The seed, Jesus says later, is the word of God. Now, it's important to realize that this parable is all about the kingdom of God. It's all about the rule of God being established on the earth, breaking into the here and now. The context in which this parable is told makes that very clear. How is that kingdom going to advance across the face of the earth? Well, Jesus says the farmer that's scattering the seed is people spreading the word of God around. It's the word of God's being spread around that seeds the kingdom of God in people's lives. The word of God, aka the good news about Jesus, aka the gospel. And Jesus says, when the gospel, when the good news about Jesus is spread around, some people won't receive it. They're like the path. And then you've got another category of people who do receive it, and they respond to the good news about Jesus, and something happens in their lives, but then they don't persevere in following Jesus. The word of God doesn't establish deep roots in their lives. So they're like the stony soil. And then you've got a third category of people, and they do receive the word of God, and they begin to follow Jesus. But then Jesus says, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. If you've got a Bible in front of you, that's what Jesus says in verse 19. So you've got this third category of people. They're followers of Jesus, but they're not fully surrendered to Jesus because they're distracted by other things. They get caught up in other things. So Jesus says their lives are unfruitful. But then Jesus says there's a fourth category of people. A fourth category of people who receive the word of God into their lives. The kingdom of God breaks into their lives, become followers of Jesus. They're fully surrendered to Jesus. And Jesus says these are fruitful people. Because he says these people are like the soil that receives the seed of the word of God and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. This is the multiplication principle. What Jesus is saying is this. This is how the kingdom of God advances on the face of the earth. Ordinary people like you and me receive the good news about Jesus. And we believe in Jesus. And the kingdom of God breaks into our here and now and transforms us. We're new creations. We're not the people that we were before. So then what do? Then we spread the good news around. Now we're opening our mouths and telling other people the good news about Jesus. Some of those people don't want to know. Okay, Jesus shows us that that's to be expected. But some of those people will be receptive and will receive the good news about Jesus into their lives. The kingdom of God will break into their lives. They'll be made new. And then they'll go on and they'll spread the good news about Jesus around. And the good news will take root in those people's lives, in further people's lives, and the kingdom of God will break into those lives, and then those people will spread the good news around, and so it goes on and on and on and on. It's the multiplication principle. Do you see? It's so simple. And the important thing that I want to drive home this morning is that this principle of multiplication is at the heart of a movement. A movement is a group of people committed to an idea or an agenda for change who then spread the news of that idea around so that other people join in with it as well. And at the heart of any movement, any successful movement, is the principle of multiplication. If you're going to go about changing the world, if you're going to go about transforming the world, you do it through a movement that harnesses the power of multiplication. And Jesus came to start a movement. A movement, not a static institution. He came to start a movement. A kingdom of God movement. The early Christians got it. You read the book of Acts, you see that it's all about them being caught up in a movement. They're getting involved with Jesus in what he is doing. And now they're into harnessing the power of multiplication. Disciples making disciples. Small groups multiplying so you have further small groups. Churches multiplying so you've got new churches. And so on and so forth. And in this way, the kingdom of God gets spread across the face of the earth. Let's think about our context. We've got a big vision as a church. When Grace Church started 7 years ago, God was speaking to us about playing our part God was speaking to us about playing our part in turning the lights back on, in seeing this whole county transformed as the word of God, the good news about Jesus, is spread across this county and people respond to the good news and become followers of his and then are gathered in communities, vibrant, spirit-filled communities called churches that are good news to their local community. That's our vision. That's our heart. Now, how many people are in Cornwall? Let's do some maths. Well, the most up-to-date figure we've got is a bit out of date because it's the 2011 census figure. 536,000 people in Cornwall or thereabouts. Now, let's just do a thought experiment. Let's imagine that we are the only church in Cornwall. It's just Grace Church. The only believers in the whole of Cornwall are part of Grace Church. Now, working on the assumption that each member of Grace Church is leading another person to Jesus, one other person to Jesus once a year, and then each of those people is leading someone else to Jesus once a year, And then each of those people are leading one person to Jesus once a year. You get the idea. So we've got the multiplication principle. How long would it take before the kingdom of God has broken into the life of every single person in the county? 536,000 people. How long? Answer, 12 years. But we're not the only church in Cornwall. So how many Christians are there in Cornwall? Well, we don't know, because no one's ever taken the trouble to count them. But our best estimate is that about 6.3% of the UK population is committed to a local church. So let's work with that figure. So let's assume that gives us a picture of how many Christians are in Cornwall. So let's imagine every Christian in Cornwall is a disciple of Jesus who's committed to making disciples of others, leading one other person to Jesus once a year. How long would it take before the kingdom of God has caught up 536,000 people in this county? Answer, a little over 4 years. Because I did the maths. That's the power of multiplication. Now, a lot of you will have seen this leaflet in which Matt, Ben and I have been setting out some of the things that we're living with, some of the things we long to see happening over the next 3 years in Grace Church. And if you've not got one of these yet, there are some spares on the back table. Do please pick up one of these as you go. It's called Going Further Faster, which is the name of this series that we're in at the moment. Inside that booklet, we set out these statements, which you can't read because they're really small. But I just want you to get a sense of how every aspect of this dream presumes that we've got hold of the power of multiplication. So let's just go from the top down. First statement, every member of Grace Church will be able to identify how at least one area of their life has been substantially changed by the power of the gospel. Now that's the baseline. That's the word of God being received. Each one of us receiving the word of God into our own lives and the kingdom of God breaking into our lives and making us into new creatures. So that every aspect of our life is impacted. Yeah, what we do with our time, what we do with our money, what we do with what we do when we're engaged in business or work or when we're taking the children to school, whatever it is, every aspect of our life is transformed by the kingdom of God breaking in. Second statement, every member of the church knows how to connect their friends with the gospel. That's disciples making disciples, a multiplication of disciples. Number three, every community group will have multiplied at least once and all our groups are nurturing new believers. That's the multiplication of small groups. Next statement, Grace Church will have been instrumental in turning around the material prospects of dozens of people. That's a multiplication of our impact. Next statement, Falmouth is a thriving elder-led church, and as part of our connection with the advanced movement of churches, our partnerships with King's Arms, Blaze and Falmouth have grown in strength. We're well on our way to planting and strengthening at least two more congregations in Cornwall and one elsewhere in the UK, and we've started building relationships with churches outside the UK. That's a multiplication of churches. Final statement, we've given away tens of thousands and dozens of people to express God's generosity and advance the gospel. That's a multiplication of resources. Multiplication, multiplication, multiplication. What I'm convinced more than ever is that God is calling us to embrace more of a movement mentality so that we harness the power of multiplication, because that's the only way that we're going to see lights turn back on in our county. You may be sitting there thinking, oh, it could never happen. It happened here before. Because you can barely move across the Cornish landscape without encountering a chapel on every street corner. In the 18th and 19th centuries, a great disciple-making missional church movement swept through this part of the world. Thousands of people became followers of Jesus, and the kingdom of God powerfully advanced across Cornwall. It's a movement known as Methodism, which has left a profound legacy to this day. The fact that it's happened here before should instill confidence in us. Hey, if God did it then, God could do it again. A few weeks back, I spoke of my discontent. I spoke of how I look back at what's been, and I thank God for it. And I look at what is, and I thank God for it, but I long for more. I long to see greater impact. I long to see more kingdom advance. I long to see more people understanding that Jesus is good news and experiencing the kingdom of God breaking into their lives. Long for it. And God spoke to me last year, and he said this, Andrew, there's a difference between planting a church and fueling a movement. There's a difference between planting a church and fueling a movement, a disciple-making, church-planting movement. And I wrote these words in my journal back in November, and I quote myself. I'm more convinced than ever that what we need to see in Cornwall is the catalyzing of disciple-making movements, i.e., movements of multiplying disciples and multiplying churches. Today, I've resolved in my heart and through prayer that I will give myself to disciple-making movements in Cornwall. A successful, in inverted commas, local church isn't enough. And then I wrote these words. This will require me to unlearn a lot of what I've picked up over the years. And you know, it's going to mean that all of us are unlearning a lot of what we've picked up over the years. And it's going to mean that we're learning a lot of new things as well. And that's exciting, isn't it? Now, I want to give you three principles that point the way. The purpose of this talk is a consciousness raiser, to put the idea of movements, for you to get the power of multiplication and begin to engage with a compelling picture of what could be. What I'm not going to go into now is a detailed policy statement or a detailed strategy. But here are three principles that point the way, that help us, I think, to embrace more of a movement mentality across the church. And the first is this. Movements are dependent on the mobilization of ordinary people. If you've got a few paid professionals or a few highly talented superstars that are pushing this thing along, you've not got a movement. If you've got a whole bunch of people, and they're not professionals and they're not superstars, and they get it, and they're excited about it, and they have a compelling picture of what could be, but they're not doing anything about it, you haven't got a movement. Nothing's going to move at all. What I'm talking about is a group of ordinary people that are pulling together and making things happen together, with all of us playing our part. Movements are dependent on the mobilization of ordinary people. Secondly, movements are dependent on developing new leaders. Every successful movement excels at developing new leaders. Because a lack of leadership is always going to place a cap on growth. With whatever movement you're dealing with, if you have a lack of leaders, then you're limiting the growth of that movement. You're limiting the impact of that movement. That's just as true in church life as it is with respect to any other kind of movement you might think of. What does this mean for us at Grace Church? It means that as Matt, Ben, and I have been talking, and we've talked to a number of you about this over the years as well, what we want to see embedded within the life of Grace Church is what P.J. Smythe calls the treble it principle. Let me tell you what the treble it principle is. The treble it principle is the idea that you always need three times the number of leaders that you might be inclined to think you need. Because you need a group of leaders that are leading things where they are at right now. And then you need the same number of leaders for as that local work grows. And then you need the same number of leaders again that you can give away. So P.J. Smythe says, look at every area of church life and consider how many leaders do we need in that area of church life? How many leaders do we need in order to bring impact to the city? Okay, let's treble it. We need three times that number. We want to be a church that excels at developing leaders and makes that a top priority over the next 3 years. And the third and final principle that I want to share with you is this. One of the best ways to renew an established church is to plant a new church and watch what happens. Because what you do is you send a group of pioneers, and they're doing something really exciting over there, and they're giving themselves to making disciples where they are. And the sending church looks at that group and thinks, wow, that's impressive. Maybe we can learn from that. And so you revitalize the sending congregation as well. A lot of you know that for quite some years now, we've been talking, dreaming, praying about a church plant in Falmouth. And it's been quite a lot happening behind the scenes over the last 12 months. In fact, I think it was January last year that we talked about working towards January of this year to take another important step in the life of a church plant in Falmouth. So let me explain to you what's been happening. For the past 12 months, lots of conversations have been going on among the members of the Falmouth team. So that we're now at the point, January 2017, where every member of Grace Church that's gathering there regularly in Falmouth and that's being served by a leadership that's being led by Liam Branigan is completely behind the vision for a church plant in Falmouth. These people have bought into the vision. And so we're at the point now where we want to mark the transition from having a Falmouth-based community group to having a galvanized, fully mobilized church planting team. And in a few moments, we're going to bring that team out from wherever they're sitting, scattered across the building, and we're going to gather around them as a church, and we're going to pray for them, and we're going to commission them. But we're not sending them out today. No, we're not saying, right, bye-bye, off you go, for them to be doing their own thing on Sunday morning. This marks another step, because it marks a point where we are publicly recognizing God's hand on this team, not just to gather during the week to enjoy building community among themselves, but we're recognizing God's hand on this team to be disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples to see Falmouth impacted to the kingdom of God breaking into people's lives. We're also recognizing the fact that this team is about to take another significant step, because in the next week or so, they're going to be starting a Life Explored course, which they're actively inviting their friends along to so that they can hear the good news about Jesus. And we're hoping, praying, that many of them will want to respond to the good news of Jesus and become his followers. So that's the next step that Falmouth is taking. But what I want to do is invite Liam, if Liam, you could just join me at the front, to say a couple of words about Falmouth, and I'll explain how we're going to pray. And we'll give you a microphone, Liam.
Hello.
Andrew, thank you. I just want to, this is a really exciting opportunity for the Falmouth team and also for Grace Church. I've become convinced of two things recently. The first thing is that God is building such a good team in Falmouth. I'm so encouraged by the team that he's been building in Falmouth. And the second thing which really encourages me is that God is going before us. Just more and more as we go, I'm just saying God is in front of us. He's in this. He is doing something. And I just want to just take a couple of minutes just to kind of share a bit about where we're at. I want to just kind of echo what Andrew's been saying. Our conviction in Falmouth has become such. We're convinced that we don't want to start a meeting. We're not here to just create meetings, but we're here to advance the kingdom of God in Falmouth. We want to see people genuinely giving their lives to Jesus. We want to see people that right now don't know him bowing their knee to Jesus. That's what we want to see. That's why we're planting a church. That's what we're all about. And that's an exciting, it's scary because it means tomorrow morning we've got a job to do. It's not back to normal life. We've got a job to do. But we are so convinced that that is what we're here to do, is to advance the kingdom, tell people about Jesus, build a community of existing and new believers discipling each other on mission in Falmouth and Penryn and the surrounding villages. We love Falmouth. We love the people of Falmouth. We're just absolutely in love with the place and the people. And there's a particular, me and Holly, particularly this week, God has been speaking to us and breaking our heart for where we live, which is the estate of Falmouth. It's kind of about as poor as Falmouth gets, which, you know, isn't that poor compared to places in country. But there's brokenness and hopelessness in these pockets of places across Falmouth. And we want to have a genuine impact and show God's love and the hope that Jesus brings to these people. The next step, as Andrew said, is Life Explored. If you're on the sort of Grace Church Facebook page, you would have seen me sort of spamming there quite recently with videos and things like that. It's a course which basically aims to engage with people with kind of things that they're living for, to what their life is about, what they want to see in life, what they're hoping for, and it kind of just tries to engage with that. We're billing it as a discussion. People are coming, we'll have a conversation about what it is you live for, what the Bible says about that, and how Jesus is the answer. And it's really exciting. It's really exciting because a number of us have got lists of people we want to invite and get along here. And actually, week by week as we get together, there seems to be more and more stories where the people on our lists are inviting themselves. And, you know, I chucked a video out on Facebook. Someone that I wanted to speak to messaged me and said, I saw your video. Can I come to that? And it's just so many stories like that. God is doing something. He's ahead of us. He is inviting people before we are. And I just want to encourage Grace Church. I want to encourage you to get behind us. We need you behind us. It's so encouraging that we're doing this together. We are not doing this. It's not something that's happening separately, but we are doing this. We are going to see a church established in Falmouth, and we need you to get behind us. And there'll be a moment when, at some point down the line, where the Falmouth team leaves Grace, and that will be a painful moment for Grace. And I want to encourage you to get stuck in. Get stuck into Grace, not just for the sake of Grace Church, but for the sake of Falmouth and for the sake of churches beyond Falmouth that will get established. You know, we see ourselves as a child of Grace Church. And I want to encourage you to think about grandchildren churches and further churches, as Andrew said, multiplication. So get stuck in. Give yourself to Grace Church for the sake of what we're doing and for the sake of what's going to happen in the future. We need your prayer as well. We need you to pray for us. God is doing something. Please pray. Pray for multiplication on us. Please pray that people, our friends, our family, our neighbours, our colleagues, people we don't know, encounter Jesus. Please pray for that. That they genuinely, they hear about the good news. They give their lives to following Jesus. And also, please pray that we will then know what the heck we're supposed to do about it then. There's a growing number of people that are coming to this Life Explored course. And the more and more I kind of try and count the numbers, I'm thinking, I don't know, if all these people become Christians, what are we supposed to do? Pray for that happens and that we've got wisdom.
That's great. Please would you stand? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray for all of us corporately, and then I'll explain how we're going to pray for Falmouth specifically. Let's pray, shall we, Father? We want to take very seriously the fact that when Jesus talked about how the kingdom of God advances, he recognized that the most fitting analogy is the analogy of a seed that grows and bears fruit. And that power of multiplication, the multiplication that we see in biological systems, is how we are to think of the multiplication that you want to see occur amongst your people as we commit ourselves to being disciples who make disciples, as we commit ourselves to seeing small groups multiply into further small groups and churches multiply to produce further churches. We long to see that, Lord. But we recognize it's not going to happen unless we change our thinking in a number of respects. It's not going to happen if we allow ourselves to get caught up in the distractions of the world, in what Jesus calls the deceitfulness of wealth, the worries of life, and the desires for other things. So, Lord Jesus, we want to be a people who are single-hearted, who not only follow you, but are completely surrendered to you. So, Lord Jesus, we offer our lives to you again in these moments. Would you lead us on? Would you help us to understand what it means to be part of your great kingdom of God movement, and so to get involved with you and what you're doing? Amen. Right, half the elders, but Jem and Deb are going to be part of that team in the early stages, supporting that team and strengthening the leadership. Great. Okay, church, let's now get round these people, shall we? And as many people as possible, lay hands on them. And then we'll go for it.
be afraid of leaving because God is with you. Falmouth team, I pray that it grows to be a huge church with people of all ages. Encouraging each other and... Dear God, please help the people to believe in God. Dear Falmouth, I hope you have a nice time at your church. I hope Jesus is with you. Amen.
Dear God, I hope you have a great time meeting people and talking to them.
Amen. That's great, isn't it? Father, we do pray that these disciples would be empowered by your Spirit and make many disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Lord, that they would be a people who, right from the earliest stages, Lord, even over the next week, as Life Explored launches next Tuesday evening, Lord, we pray that there be a people who experience the power of multiplication, who get caught up with you and your purposes. And Falmouth team, I want you to hear these words. Just want you to receive these words into your hearts now at this moment. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth belongs to me. All authority. Therefore, go and make disciples of every people group, on every street, in every neighborhood, in every subculture, in every part of Falmouth and Penryn, and into the regions beyond. And baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Falmouth team, we commission you this morning in the name of Jesus to be those who go, who live in the light of that great commission, who do not hold back, who do not allow fear to take hold, but who are bold and courageous in stepping out, putting your everything in the hands of Almighty God, knowing that He is with you and all authority belongs to Him. So speak out, step up and step out, and be bold, knowing that you're on mission with Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Let's give God a round of applause, shall we, as we go back to our seat.